and welcome to The Breakup Monologues, a monthly podcast navigating the emotionally perilous terrain of relationship endings. A particularly timely episode as it is February, and nobody, of course, wants to find themselves suddenly single on Shrove Tuesday. Pancake making can be a very lonely business. No, of course, I mean Valentine's Day. What do you think about it? Does this day of romance put extra pressure on our relationships? Well, I shall probably be finding out from my two guests. This month they are comedians Wendy Wason and Maddie Ann Holt. Welcome both of you. Lovely to see you here. Maddie, you've done a number of shows about love and relationships. What's your take about the old Valentine's Day? Is it commercial rubbish or can it be romantic?
You see, right now, where I am in my life, I am going to tell you that it's commercial rubbish.
I sense a certain... perhaps one has had
bitterness.
A breakup.
Bitterness. Yes. Say it, Rosie. Bitterness.
Yeah, bitterness. Yeah.
I have had lovely Valentine's dates, and I think if you're in the right relationship, then I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it, then every day should be Valentine's Day. Not like roses and chocolates and flowers and all of that, but, you know, to the point that you should treat each other well and whatever. But I do think that on Valentine's Day, you overhype and overhype. And for the single ones of us out there, we get to a point where we're like, oh, God, it's a huge deal. And then it's over. So, yeah, I think we put too much pressure on ourselves for Valentine's Day.
Because it is actually, I don't know if you know, it's a mini peak on the graph of peak breakup times throughout the year, according to Facebook status updates. So I think for some people it puts so much pressure on that they actually end up breaking up. And yeah, I've read stories about people who've actually been stood up on their Valentine's date.
And that's how they know.
Yeah.
See, my cousin's a family lawyer and she's like, the 8th of September and the 8th of January are days that she's just rubbing her hands together.
Oh, really?
Because after August, everyone's gone, I'm not doing this again. That's it. I've had enough because they've been on holiday.
Yeah.
And then after Christmas, they're like, 8th of January, let's get out of this. So that's sort of peak breakup time.
Oh,
like,
God.
That's the big peaks, I'm guessing.
Wow. God, that's really interesting. Yeah, no. I think my plan this year was just to fill it with work. I've already booked in a trip to Nottingham to go and film some stuff. That's what I'm planning to do. I remember being at school. Do you remember being at primary school when they used to do send over little love letters?
Yeah.
Did you ever do that?
Yeah, we did it. We had a sort of Valentine's post at school, but it was always totally humiliating if you didn't get one. And one year I got one, and this was in secondary school. I got a Valentine through the school post, and you know how hard, harsh kids are. And the guy had written my name, whoever had sent me it, my mystery Valentine had written my name, but had done the E back to front. So I was like, oh, great, I've got a Valentine and he's dyslexic. Because the worst thing that could happen to me, because I was such a guy when I was 13.
Aren't we all? I remember when I was at uni, my mum always used to send me one.
Yeah.
And I would be looking through the post, because I was a bit of a geek and got up earlier than everyone else. I'd be looking through the W pigeonhole and there'd be a red envelope. I thought, do I leave it there and it looks like I've got a Valentine? Or is it so obvious that it's like a mum's handwriting?
Yeah, we used to get
really
one. I actually remember, my dad, because my mum and dad are writers, my dad once wrote me a poem in a Valentine's that I remember, and it goes, boys will come and boys will go, but there's something that you ought to know. All of them will love you, Maddie, but not as much as your dear old daddy.
Oh.
And I always remember that. And in my head, and I'm like, no man can challenge that. No man will win. So I'm waiting for that, for like a nice poem.
Oh, wow, that's pretty. But your dad's a writer. He's stacked the deck in his favour.
Yeah,
he really has.
I know. I'm still waiting. This is why I'm single, Wendy. I'm waiting.
He's raised the bar. Now, another sad story I heard was a woman who found out that her boyfriend had been cheating because she saw his credit card statement on Valentine's Day, and he'd actually sent another woman some underwear.
My God.
And it reminded me of, there's a storyline on the film Love Actually, which my partner made me watch again at Christmas time. I didn't even remember it was a Christmas film. But there's this really heartbreaking story where Emma Thompson thinks she's getting a lovely necklace for Christmas, but Alan Rickman has already given it to the girl in the office. I mean, it's not real. It's a fictional story.
Someone got that idea from somewhere.
Definitely whoever wrote that. For sure, man.
Actually, that reminds me. I remember I was sort of semi-seeing a guy around about Valentine's Day, and he sent me a Valentine's card with a little note in it and some flowers. And I thought, oh, that's quite cute. And then he worked at the BBC and in Glasgow. One couple of my friends worked at the BBC in Glasgow. And I was kind of like, David sent me flowers. And he was like, and my friend was like, oh my gosh, that's so weird. Because he sent his ex-girlfriend Jimmy Choo's shoes.
Oh.
So I was kind of like, oh no.
What does that mean?
That was over.
That was over then.
I was
right,
like, yeah, well, do you know what? Jimmy Choo's shoes are a hell of a lot more.
He must have loved her a lot more.
Yeah, yeah. He was trying to get back with her.
Well, I'll just say it. I'm just voicing.
I categorically moved on.
What about gifts? If someone broke up with you and they'd given you gifts during the relationship or maybe just before the breakup, would you give them back?
No.
Especially if they're Jimmy Choo's shoes, right?
No. I had this. No, I didn't think so. Why? I mean, why would you? Like, I had lovely things, designer handbags and et cetera. Mm. And I'm like, well, they've been used. Don't take them back. No, because I wouldn't dream of...
What are you going to do with a second-hand handbag anyway?
Sure. I'd rather sell it.
But what you could do is, I found out this week that there is a museum of broken relationships in Zagreb. And an American guy was so inspired when he saw his open one in LA as well. And it is mostly objects that were given by lovers that are then no longer wanted when
That's
the relationship
really
sad. Ends. Mm. And the funniest item that caught my eye when I was reading about it is a woman from Berlin has donated the axe that she used to chop up her lover's furniture.
Oh my God, I really was wondering where you were going to go with that. The axe that
not some woman who was so cross that her husband had cheated on her that she cut off one leg of all of his trousers.
What a legend.
That's quite sad.
That's a dream of a woman. Right there.
Yeah.
Is that a role model? Is that what you aspire to?
No, I think I would hope that I would have left by that point.
Yeah,
that before
that's someone
it got
who
to
doesn't
that.
Give a f-
yeah.
doing that. I mean, you'd have to really.
I mean, if you allowed yourself to get to that point of like bitterness and hatred, I'm reading a whole thing recently about like forgiveness, and because I'm terrible at that. Yeah. I used to be terrible. I mean, I would think like someone would, you know, undercut me or whatever, or like step on my foot on the tube. And 3 weeks later, I'd be like, is that woman? No, it's not.
Really?
Like, literally, that was my 20s.
But does that not sort of burn inside
you? Yeah, well, I get that now. I mean, I get that now. But
I don't know.
Well, you were saying just before we started recording, you were saying how you've just turned 30 and looking very, very young
Thank you.
I must say. But how your perspective has maybe changed.
Totally.
You're becoming more spiritual. You're
totally. Yeah. Yeah, my God. I mean, I did know that at 30, did you have I had a little mini that I went, oh, shit.
And well, we've turned 40, I think.
I know,
think
but
that
at
30,
we've
had
another
at 30, one. Wait till 40 kicks in.
Yeah. Well, I know.
You're pretty much the Dalai Lama.
I'm excited about it. I'm like Eckhart Tolle right now. No, at 30, I did go, oh, shit, like being single. And, of course, like doing what we do as well. That there's no stability in it at all. So kind of like looking at, you know, I've got a twin brother who's dead. Him and his girlfriend are just about to have a baby. My sister.
I thought you said I've got a twin brother who's dead.
It does sound like you said that.
Oh my gosh, no.
And then him and his girlfriend are having a baby. Wow.
That's incredible.
That's quite a talent.
No, Gade's about to have a baby. My sister's just had twins. Second lot of twins. And then I remember just in December just going, oh, shit, at 30 and I'm still renting and my job it's not stable.
But you see, it's interesting you say that because those are all, that's a sort of perspective. So when I was 30, I had a one-year-old and I was kind of like, right, I'm 30. I'm just an old woman with a baby and that's my life over now that I'm 30. It's downhill all the way. Mm. So you're looking at that like
big steps
as an achievement thing.
But I look at that.
At like
Totally. I look at that like you've nailed that, babe. You've nailed that. But now, I mean, I think you do totally look at. Someone said, like I said to you, someone said to me that when you hit 30, you no longer have any fucks to give. And that's what happens. And I remember Corey, who we know who's my agent, a lot of people said that to me. They went, just watch and just wait and see. And I hit 30 and I've only been a month into 30 and I can feel it. And like the few dates that I've been on or the men, I had a guy I was messaging and then this is what I didn't get, that he would message me kind of sporadically and then it would be 3 days and I wouldn't hear from him. And then when I would see him in person, it would be incredible. And then there would be like 4 days and I wouldn't hear from him.
Maybe he was sending someone else Jimmy Choo's.
100% he was sending someone else Jimmy Choo's because there ain't none on my feet.
Wendy, you mentioned having kids.
Yes.
And I wanted to talk to you about that because I've not had any mums on the podcast yet. And
we're
you
a curious breed.
Oh, no, a wonderful breed. I mean, let's face it, we need you or else we wouldn't continue.
Yeah.
But you did go through a breakup with the children. How, I mean, obviously you have to be a bit more conscious about how you navigate that because you don't want to shout and scream at each other as much as you might do.
Well, my ex-husband sort of went cold on me and removed himself. Sort of shut down. So there was not like a lot of arguing.
Okay.
And my mum split up, had two very acrimonious divorces. So I didn't really want to do that to my children. And I was aware of how mindful I was of them because my youngest was, my middle boy. At the time, they were like 6 and 3, I think, when we split up, or 5 and 3. And I remember sort of being all, everything's fine. Mummy and daddy aren't going to live together anymore and it's going to be fine. And I remember having a friend, because I was gigging and a single mum, so friend, I didn't have any money, so friends would babysit for me while I was gigging.
Yeah.
I remember one of my girlfriends saying, you probably need to have a word with Bella. And I said, why? And she said Isabella was asking her about her home situation. And she said, oh, yeah, well, I'm not with my son's dad anymore. We split up when he was a baby. And Isabella had said, oh, my mummy and dad don't live in the same house, but they've not split up. I'd call it, So I had to sit them down and have a sort of chat with them. But then I kind of think the bitterness you're talking about, I think it's really, when you split up and you've got kids, the man just gets to go off and be footless and fancy free. And he's got kids and it's a kind of thing. Whereas women are there just sort of keeping it all going together and looking after the children. And I remember like a couple of months, my ex-husband was like, I don't have any money this month. And I had to find it because the kids still needed to eat and bills had to be paid. And the buck stops with you.
Yeah.
And I remember getting really cross about it and then thinking, no, I've got to decide not to be bitter about this because I don't want the kids to sort of see that bitterness. And I don't want, and I took them to family therapy actually because I just wanted some help to navigate that. And I didn't want to be negative about my ex and I didn't want the kids to feel like they were missing out on something. But it was, you know, it was quite an upheaval. And also I was on my knees when we split up because sort of he decided he didn't want to be married anymore. And I was kind of like, oh.
God, that must be hard though, that whole thing of not being bitter or saying anything bad about him.
To the kids.
That's hard.
If you split up with someone and you don't have kids, you don't have to see them again.
No.
But I have to see my ex. That's all right. You know, we get on fine now. But I remember I remember him saying, I know it'd be much better if I lived closer to you. And I remember thinking,
no,
it'd be much better if you weren't fucking here, mate. But, you know, if I didn't have to see you. And little things like, the kids are now they're older and they're easier to look after. My ex wants to see them a lot more because teenagers are easy to get for dinner. 4 and 5 year olds and 6 year olds need to go to swimming lessons and need to have their teeth brushed and need to be got up in the morning and fed and dressed and all that stuff. And so I kind of have moments of going, so now you want them. Do you know what I mean? And you kind of feel like you're during the week, you're getting them up and brushing their teeth and get out the door and do your homework. And then they come back after a weekend at their dad's going, we went to the art gallery and we did this and we did that. I'm like, I can't do that, can I? I'm looking after you during the week. And then you go swan off. So I think you've got to park all that stuff because it can be really, you can be really angry about it, and it's not the kid's fault.
No,
of course not.
Gosh, that's really tough. And at what stage did you start dating again? Because you did start a new relationship.
I started a new relationship. And this is the thing. So I was on my knees when I split up with my ex-husband, and I was kind of like, and then sort of said to myself, do you know what? You're 35. You've got two kids. You're lucky. Lots of girls get to 35 and don't have. So be grateful for what you've got. And you were in love and you had babies and now you're not. Just get on with it. And as soon as I made that decision, about 6 months after I split up, I went for a lunch with Phil Nichol, another comedian.
He
said, you need to get back in the game, Wendy. You need to have a one-night stand. Have you ever had a one-night stand? And I said, no, I've never had a one-night stand. And he said, go out and have a one-night stand. So I've now been with my one-night stand 10 years.
That was not a one-night stand.
No, I know. And my husband's always like, don't come home ever and go, I've done the one-night stand thing. And he's 12 years younger than me.
That was 6 months.
6 months after I split up with my ex-husband.
So, I do that terrible thing. So I had a 4-year relationship and then I had a 3-day break. Then I had a 4-year relationship. Then I had a week break. Then I had a 4-year relationship.
You're the classic serial monogamist.
Definitely. Yeah. So then I've now been 5 months single. This is the longest in my dating life that I've been single.
Probably
ever.
A healthy thing.
Have you 100%. Made the decision to be single?
I would say I am better in a relationship. I would. However, I said to me that in 2018, it's going to be my career year. So anything that stops me doing that, I'm cutting, you know, cutting my losses on that. But yeah, I mean, it's not to say that I wouldn't, but I don't think I know myself enough and have been single long enough now to just jump into, because realistically speaking, the next guy that I'm with, I don't care if it scares them. I want that to be the guy that I marry and the guy that I have kids with and whatever.
Maybe don't tell them that in the first.
No, I did do that, Wendy, and they keep leaving me. Is that the problem?
Possibly, Maddie.
Do you know what? So Stephen was 23 when I met him. I was 35. I was like, listen, I'm the walking wounded. I'm just 6 months out of a marriage. Mm. You don't want to know. I've got two kids. This is a fling. Mm. We're going to have sex and it's going to be great. But that's it. I want to go out drinking with you. I want to have sex with you. I don't want a relationship. Mm. Turns out that is catnip to me.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Wendy.
That's
what you say.
Okay, this is great.
Yeah.
But then also, like, introducing them to the kids was quite entertaining.
Because, what stage did you do that?
Well, obviously, I told them it was a fling that wasn't happening, so it took me 6 months to meet the kids. He was like, when are we going to meet your children? Shh, stop talking. let me just look at you. Shh. So it was about 6 months, and he came around, and I remember he came around, and Isabella was very defensive of her daddy, and she's like, so Max came in, Max was like, and he was just delighted to have a buddy. Mm. And he was like, hey! And Isabella appeared at the top of the stairs, like holding her laptop, just scowling at this man in the house. And she put him through the mill for a good couple of months.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. I remember we were sitting outside in the back garden having a barbecue one night, and I came out and Stephen said, oh, that's a really nice dress you've got on. And Bella went, my daddy bought her that in Morocco. And so Stephen started laughing at this little six-year-old going for him. And he went, oh, really? And when was that? And Bella went, not that long ago. So she was a bit, you know.
He sounds like a good, like, strong man.
He withstood it.
Yeah. He was like, fair play to her. She's defending her daddy.
Yeah, fair play. Yeah.
But then now they're really close.
Yeah.
Now that she's 15, she sort of got over that.
Yeah.
And she does the whole teenage eye-rolling slamming doors things at him. So I think she's figured out that he's going to be around for a bit.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to have a quick quiz now because this was a good fun on our last episode. So perhaps a little bit of a trick question, first of all. You can buzz in. You can just make a bzzz kind of sound and we'll see if anyone's got an answer for these questions. So quite a trick one. First off, can you name the woman who first coined the phrase conscious uncoupling?
Bzz.
Yes.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Ah, well, you've fallen into my trap. You've fallen into my trap there.
A therapist.
Have you got any ideas, Maddie?
I was going to say Gwyneth. I would have said Gwyneth.
Yeah, well, Gwyneth, of course, made it famous, but it was actually first invented by the relationship therapist Catherine Woodward Thomas, who has a book out called Conscious Uncoupling, which actually one of my audience members came along to one of my gigs and gave me a copy of that. Mm. So, going to be delving into that.
You're going to be conscious uncoupling soon.
Well, no, I hope not, because my new relationship is going very well. But I did have, I suppose, a conscious uncoupling in my previous relationship.
Mm. I don't think I've ever done that. I've had lots of probably unconscious couplings.
Well, yeah. Me too.
Subconscious coupling.
My previous breakup.
Barely conscious couplings.
My previous breakup had been so bad, which is now years ago, that really started my show that I wrote about breakups and so on, that I wanted to do it really consciously this time. And we're still friends, and she came over for lunch the other day with me and my partner, and it's all really, really cool.
Weirdly normal.
Yeah.
Weirdly normal. Yeah, maybe that's too weird. But it's been quite a lesbian thing, I think, historically, that gay women have often done that thing of kind of exes being good friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite a nice thing.
Have you seen that app? So my daughter's 15 now and was talking to me about an app. Sorry, I'm interrupting.
That's okay.
And it's an app where what you do is you can rate your exes on it and give, so it's
really?
Like a sort of TripAdvisor review.
That is brilliant.
Isn't
it?
That is used car salesman. Like, here's my ex-boyfriend. He's pretty good at presents, but don't be expecting any emotional openness.
That is brilliant.
Because they run through what you... I love this. It's amazing. But then also... Lucy Porter, who's a cynic, said that if you really fancied somebody that wasn't getting back to you, you'd give them a really negative rating so that only you would go out with them. That says a hell of a lot about your brain, my friend.
Yeah, it says more about Lucy, I think.
Yeah.
What is that app? Do you remember what it's called? Okay, we'll have to find that out. Brilliant.
I'm getting on it.
Okay, next quiz question, perhaps along similar lines as conscious uncoupling. Which celebrity couple announced their split last year using the phrase respectful loving space?
Oh, I don't know. That sounds horrible.
Probably some like,
and also a lie.
Jennifer Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner, is it one of them?
Oh, well, that's not a bad answer because I think they have used similar kind of
Gwen Stefani
language. Yeah. But actually, that one was Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom.
Oh,
yes,
that's a lie though. It's true.
They're back together, aren't they?
Well, they did use that phrase last year, but they were giving each other respectful, loving space, which, well, maybe that's come to an end.
Maybe she needed some respectful, loving space after seeing his huge dick on the back of that surfboard.
I need some time.
Yeah, I need some time out, dude. Just to heal. Sorry, I've got a bit dark.
Please. I know, I love a bit of dark. Okay, well, final question in our quiz. Which Star Wars and Trainspotting actor, that makes it easy, doesn't it, split from his wife of 22 years last year?
Ewan McGregor.
Yes, Ewan. Well, that's a bit
of a dodgy
one, isn't
it? I'm so disappointed in him because it's such a cliche.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, you let them dump your wife for a younger model. Well done.
You feel disappointed in them when they don't sort of set that example.
No, obviously I understand that they're real people. I get that.
Yeah, but
I do feel like, put on a bit of a show, guys.
Well, we've still got Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can still do a bit there.
The biggest one for me was back in the heyday of like Boyzone when Ronan Keating.
Oh, that was awful. Yeah.
That was pre cutting.
I was gutted when Susan Sarandon and...
oh, yes. They seem brilliant
they seem
together.
So good.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Tim...
We're going to
have to Google
it.
Mind you get your phone out. But yes, I know exactly what you mean. They
I kind of feel like you're invested
like...
in the relationship.
Yeah.
But then I kind of feel when you split up, and here's a weird thing about divorce, because when I was going through problems with my ex-husband, friends of mine were like, just have an affair. Lots of people have affairs.
Oh,
that's
God.
How. Maybe you've got unrealistic expectations of marriage. And I was like, I think I just want my husband to, I want to be in a loving relationship.
Tim Robbins. Yeah.
Tim Robbins. I knew it was Tim. Brilliant. No, I'm glad that we remembered.
Affairs, no.
What I find interesting is that quite a few friends who were in relatively unhappy marriages that stop speaking to me when we split up. And I think I wonder if that's a sort of, maybe it's because I'm a cow, or maybe it's because it's sort of, I was wondering if...
You didn't stick it out.
If it forces people to look at the situations there, and when you go, do you know what, this isn't good
It's what you just
me.
Said
this
to me about
what I want.
Dry January. I just said Dry January was really selfish. You said you only say that because it's making you look at... People who say that making them look at their own drinking habits.
Sorry about that.
It's the truth. It just hurt. It's the truth.
And at what stage, then, if you do break up, because Gwyneth Paltrow, who we mentioned just a moment ago, she of the conscious uncoupling fame has recently announced her engagement. What stage should we announce new relationships on social media to the world? I mean, not that we're quite celebrities at that sort of level, but we've all got followers, haven't we?
We're all Facebook sort of was a public. Weird one. When I got together with my ex and Facebook wasn't around, and then with my... current husband. I'm going to call him that.
Current husband.
That's how I feel. It's got a very Liz Taylor twang to it.
Yeah, it does.
Like girls sort of like posting on Facebook walls and that kind of stuff. That was all completely new to me. And I was kind of like, and I was feeling wrong footed and slightly jealous and just being like, I remember one time he was at a party and I was at home with the kids. And a girl had posted on his Facebook wall, "Oh, this was you last night dancing," and it looks like it's just them in an empty room, and the clock behind him said four o'clock. So it was obviously 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was kind of like, "Is she posting that to go? We've been together at 4 a.m. I didn't know what the sort of messages people are sort of sending out when they post on.
I just think avoid. I was with my ex, we didn't post any stuff. Like, it was quite a secretive, in a way, relationship. Not deliberately, but just because I got that whole thing of, like, I just think social media makes you mental. And I honestly, my 2014 was an entire year of Facebook stalking and Instagram stalking and Twitter stalking. And then from that point...
You doing the stalking?
Yeah.
All right.
And it drives you crazy because, it, like you're just saying, was it this and was it... I just made that decision in 2014.
Really?
I deleted the app. I mean, I still have all of the things, but I don't spend longer than 20 minutes a day, I would say, on all of the social media platforms, unless I'm really, really pushing stuff. But really, generally speaking, I don't. So it would be nice, I think, to... post, like, if you're with somebody and you know, but it's dangerous. I think it's dangerous if you're with someone and then...
I do. I think it's quite fun. Like, my husband, I know more about his ex-girlfriends than any other partner I've ever had. And, like, he's got this ex-girlfriend who's quite a well-known actress, and occasionally I'll go on Instagram and be like, yep, she's still younger and prettier than me. But, you know, it's ridiculous and
with,
silly.
Hey?
Yeah, I know, but I don't sort of... It just makes me giggle when you sort of can look at yourself. You step back and look at yourself and go... Stop being an idiot.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've just
we
stopped.
Do, though.
Hang on, I haven't picked a scab for a while. Let me look at my husband's exes.
It's crazy, isn't it? And then that goes deeper because then you start doing things like on WhatsApp. You know, when the double blue ticks came and you're like, well, they've read it. I mean, they've read it and then you can now do info. What time did they read it?
Oh, no, Wendy.
Oh, God, no, I've made your life really hard.
I've turned off WhatsApp notifications because, and this is ahead of you at some point in time, I'm a part of a parent-teacher group.
Oh, God.
So I came off stage the other night there and there was like 128 unread messages.
Oh, no.
And it's things like... Jack left his pullover in the anyone. I'm like, oh my God, stop.
No, I just avoid all of that.
Well, have either of you got gigs coming up where you're going to be talking about relationships and enlightening us further?
I do talk about relationships all the time.
You do?
I don't have time to make up material. I've got three children. So I just come in. Incidentally, the daughter, because we go through the kids' search histories on their phones.
Ooh.
Well, if I'm paying the bill, I get access to the device. Yeah. That's the rule. And Isabella was searching. What was she searching?
Oh,
she's 15.
She's
not going to listen to a podcast with me on it. Are you joking? she was searching Hugh Jackman at 15. And my husband was like, why is she searching that? And I was like, because she's a smart girl.
Yeah.
She doesn't want pretty boys now. She wants the ones that are going to grow
into
Hugh Jackman.
Good girl. You have got
like,
no worries
with
her.
Very well.
You have done very well.
Well, I tell you what, I found a few years ago when I was single, a good way of attracting men was telling them that I was gay. So, I mean, who knows? You could even try the bluff.
Do you want me to come and kiss the face off you in a bar, Maddie?
Could you? Can we organise this, guys?
I think there's probably a lot of men who would quite fancy seeing
Well, guys,
that.
We're going to be in central London, in Soho.
Not in Soho, that sounds wrong.
Oh, no.
Not for that reason.
No, that sounds a bit...
We'll find a pub in Camden somewhere.
Okay, all right. so there's my tips. Thanks, guys. Really helped me. But I'm not stressed. My twins' girlfriend is 37 and they're just having their first baby. And I keep reminding myself of that. I keep going, she's 37 and she's having her first baby. Right now, I'm renting and my career's unstable.
Do you know what's really funny you say that? Like, I remember my husband said to me, I think it'd have been very different if I'd met you at 35 and you didn't have children because, you know, you'd really want a baby, wouldn't you? And I was kind of like, here's the thing about women. We don't like being told what we want. So you can't make that call ever.
Yeah.
But as it happened, we did have another baby. Only because he wanted one. But I just think it's really interesting that sort of men bring quite a lot to the table when you're a certain age and they go, you'll be wanting this, and this. And you're like...
Where does that be? Yeah. That comes from parents. It comes from like Disney way back when. This whole thing of being 30 and like, and you know, I remember being young and being like, oh yeah, 30, I'm going to have, you know, I'm going to have a house, I'm going to have a car,
really?
Have two kids. And now I'm like, oh no, I am not.
I love that you thought like that. I was like, what am I going to watch on TV tonight?
I really did think like that. Maybe that's why I'm in this position. But actually, I'm glad for it. Like, super glad for it, and I'm definitely doing a 6 month single, 100%.
So, but you've done
it,
but
Wendy, that will bring
that's gonna work. Well done,
I'm gonna do like 2 years.
You're learning
single.
Quickly, yeah. Grasshopper.
2 years single. So in 2020,
I mean, let's 2020. Don't put dates on it. Just
no. I'm all beside anyone who tries to prove you wrong.
Absolutely.
075. No joking.
But we also have other kind of breakups in our lives as well. I was reading an article just the other day about a woman. This is quite meta in a way. It's sort of a breakup within a breakup because this woman was struggling to break up with the therapist with whom she'd been dealing with her breakup. And the therapist was like, oh, no, I think we need another 4 sessions. And the woman was like, no, I think I'm done now.
Back off, needy.
Yeah. Wow.
That's bizarre. I broke up with a friend. I sort of emailed.
Did you?
Her. Yeah. I kind of had this thing where she was a really competitive friend, and it didn't bring out the best in me either. Mm. I kind of felt she was constantly in competition. I didn't want to just sort of ghost her because I didn't think that was the honourable thing to do. So I wrote an email saying, "Here's how I feel about when we get together, and I feel like there's a competitiveness that I don't appreciate, and I don't feel supported by you as a friend." That opened a can of worms.
Oh, God, it makes it worse.
You know when you can sort of visualise somebody tapping, tap, 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 tap a keyboard when they reply? It's like this stream of consciousness.
It's funny, not that happy. You just said, I only just learned this thing about ghosting because I was being ghosted.
Oh, really?
And someone said this other phrase to me. They were like, oh, you're being breadcrumbing.
Yes.
I had to Urban Dictionary that.
If people want to know about these phrases, that you could listen to our language quiz on last month's podcast with Kate Smurthwaite and Joe Sutherland. But interestingly, on the topic of ghosting and so on, Kate was saying that she doesn't want the person to contact her with an appraisal. If someone wants to break up with her, she's just like, just send me a message.
There's an app for
that. And that's done. How do you feel? Would you want some kind of dissection of the relationship, some kind of conversation, or just
I'd like that. I'd like a reason. And people sort of don't. I remember like thinking, me seeing a boyfriend who was dumping me, is there someone else? And he said, no. There's no one else. And I remember thinking, so you'd rather go out with no one than with me? So nothing is better than me. Is that meant to make me feel better?
Just say yes.
Just say you cheated on me.
Yeah, I know.
Say she's a 34E rather than double D. Yeah, that would make me feel slightly better.
I remember my ex who I had the really bad breakup with. I remember we had lunch because we were trying to sort of talk and stuff, and she was saying how lonely and miserable she was. And I just thought, oh, so this constant sort of dreary, nagging melancholia is still preferable to being in a relationship with me. It's really gutting, isn't it?
It's really
But
bizarre.
My friend, another friend of mine who is a performer and a therapist, it's quite an interesting mix, Liz Bentley, I remember at the time saying to her, she says there's no one else, and Liz said, there's always someone else, Rosie. And actually, Facebook revealed a few years later that indeed there had been.
Do you know what I find weird about Facebook, though? When my ex-husband got together with someone else, you're sort of getting a documentation of how the relationship is progressing, because it'd be like, two of your friends are now friends with such and such, five of your friends are, 25 of your friends, and I'm like, oh great, so he's introducing her to all my friends now,
such and such
is now in a relationship with. Yes, I get it. I'm watching it unfold on bloody Facebook.
No, yes, he avoids the bag.
Oh, it's awful, isn't it?
But I don't think I'd want an appraisal. Mind you, I got sort of an appraisal of sorts once. I went out with a guy for 2 months and he stalked me for 2 years. So I'm thinking I must be pretty good in bed. But once he sent me, and it was on Valentine's Day, he sent me a bunch of flowers. I don't know how he'd done it, but there was a bunch of flowers waiting outside my door in London. He lived in Glasgow, with all the heads cut off the flowers.
That's terrifying.
I know. He also used to download
stuff about
people with narcissism problems, like a narcissistic personality disorder, and then send me that. And I'm like, I'm a stand-up. No,
what
shit,
do you
Sherlock.
Expect? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, true. I mean,
tell me something I don't know. I like to stand on stage and talk about myself.
No, that with the roses, that's
really
terrifying.
Scary.
That is scary. Yeah.
That's horrible. And I told my flatmate, and I was like, what are you doing? And he got on the phone. I said, what are you doing? Are you calling the police? And he went, no, I'm checking my house insurance is up to date.
Are you calling the police? Hi, can I, met police. Basically, I had to break up.
Cycle.
Amazing. Well, it's quite a disturbing note to end on.
Sorry about that, guys.
Thanks,
but
Wendy.
I feel great and single now. It's wicked.
There's some crazy out there.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Well, thank you both for joining me on the Breakup Monologues. I'm sure everyone will go and follow you on Twitter and find out when you're going to be chatting about relationships and love on stage. Don't forget to subscribe to the Breakup Monologues and receive every every episode. And do please come along to the live event on the 13th of February at Poplar Union and check out the blog breakupmonologues.wordpress.com. Thanks for listening.
A Big Things Media production. Big Things!